Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. How you doing? It is the one and only Dr. Shawande Moussakim. I am back in this new year. Oh, my gosh. What is the world coming to? She's back on the airwaves. Yes, I am here to talk about Back to School 2021, spring books and new teaching strategies. For the teachers out there, I'm sending you the love. I'm sending you the high five, the fist bump, the arm bump, all of it, because we're doing it. And there are many of us that are doing it for humanity. And those within the classroom, we're doing it for the future, so the future can have a future, and so we can understand where we come from and all of the evolution. And today I thought, well, I'm over here getting some things together for this so-called new spring semester. But it is going to be new because it is a new year in 2021. Although we are all finding ourselves across the multiverses and across the many places that we are, in and across the globe, a lot of acrosses, but in the globe, on earth, wherever you are, and for those who are teaching, it is a whole new world. We're finding ourselves, and we're having to find our new selves in our greatest point of empowerment for the future through the students. And I'm teaching two one-of-a-kind classes that I had mentioned in my last conversation that I was going to briefly come on and tell you all about, but also really tell you about these very important books that students will be engaging. And as promised, I had mentioned that I was going to talk about some new teaching strategies, because you know what? Things have changed. Whatever you were doing before cannot and will not ever work the same. Emotions are different. The mindset is different. The expectations are different. Our overall vibrations are different within the classroom, whether in person, virtually, all of it combined. So where and how can we be empowered? And that is why you are finding me here today on a Sunday or whenever that you're catching me in the future to hear me in this moment. I wanted to come talk about what are the students having to read, because, yes, in college they do read books. And I will continue to demand, command, rigor, so that way people can move forward in the future. That's how I've gotten where I am, because I've read so many books. And then it is about making sense of all of it. What can it tell us about where we are in the world? So two major topics that are going to be centered in these conversations within these spring Moussakim classes will be, one, essentially, where and how do Black women matter to the evolution of American history? There's that. That's not the title, but that is the basis. Then the other class will be really asking, what does memory look like, or what are the costs of silences in talking about the history of slavery within America and within American culture? So one class is African-American women's history, sexuality, violence, and the love of hip-hop. Boop, boop, yes. That is a first-year seminar, so that way we're getting students early in. We know you know everything about black women, right? Because, yes, the world does include intentionally black women and black girls in the curriculum, right? No. I developed this course now about 14 years ago, and it's still, I am still the only person at my university teaching black women's history. That said, it's going to be a one-of-a-kind semester with all kinds of books that we're going to get to in just a second. And the other class that I'm teaching is Slavery and Memory in American Popular Culture. That was a course that I developed now, maybe about 11 years ago, in order to raise the profile of the humanities, in order to get us, and more importantly, to think about the power and the enduring power of history and herstory. And that class has really helped to produce some phenomenal people that are out there across the world that one day you'll hear about. And they're continuing to do the good work now because of what I saw, even on the levels within the classroom. So going back to this Black Women's History course, again, a first of a kind, it's a first-year seminar intended for so-called freshmen, but also first years in college. But the books and all the books that I ever choose for any of the classes that I teach, it is about accessibility. It isn't always about using my friends and my friends and my friends' books or my advisor's books. It's more about accessibility. Who really needs to know this history, this herstory? All of us do. But where should we start right now in 2021? So what we have on this list for this year is we have Monique Morris's Push Out, The Criminalization of Black Girls in Schools. Striking cover, important topic, and definitely going to generate a lot of conversation, I'm sure, over the semester. We're also going to be reading the one and only Kamala Harris's book, The Truth We Hold, An American Journey. So, yes, we will be reading our new Vice President Harris's book, so that's exciting. We're also going to be reading Slavery at Sea, Terror, Sex, and Sickness in the Middle Passage by Dr. Mustakeem, two-time award-winning. In addition to that, we're going to be reading Hair Story, Untangling the Roots of Black Hair. I'm so excited about that book. Black Hair in America, I'll read it again. Hair Story, Untangling the Roots of Black Hair in America by Ayanna D. Byrd and Lori Elthart. And I read that book a couple decades ago, and it just really opened my mind to some new transformative conversations. And then the other book that we're going to be reading is Asada, an autobiography by Asada Shakur that came out decades ago that still continues to need to be read. And then our last book that is equally as important as all the rest is called Freedom Knows My Name by Kelly Harris DeBerry. It's a friend of mine, in fact, who's a poet. So that is, again, the books that we are reading for the first-year seminar, one-of-a-kind course, African-American Women's History, Sexuality, Violence, and the Love of Hip-Hop. Again, we're going to be reading Push Out, The Truth We Hold, Slavery at Sea, Hair Story, Freedom Knows My Name, and Asada. Now, moving on to slavery and memory in American popular culture. We know we need to remember and talk about slavery, okay? You know it. Come on. We need to go deeper. So this course has really been around in order to foster those conversations within and across many lines of many things and who we are, because we are made of a tapestry of many. So in order to really allow us to go deeper in understanding, hey, if we don't know the memory, do you really even know what slavery is about? And then do you recognize how in everyday culture we are acting out that which we do not know? So we're going to be reading one of the most important books that I've read. I love it, love it, love it. It's called Slave Patrols by Sally Haddon, Law and Violence in Virginia and the Carolinas. I have continued to use this book in a number of classes because, for me, in reading it, it gives full understanding of so much more when we need to find out about the foundational sort of evolution over time. Next, we're also going to be reading the one and only Jim Downs book, Sick from Freedom, African American Illness and Suffering During the Civil War and the Reconstruction. For those where health matters and we really want to understand about race, blackness, and this whole healthcare system. And when you find what happens when there's many black bodies that are connected with it and the challenges, that book really takes us deeper. We're also going to be reading Octavia Butler's book, Kindred, that iconic book must be read. We're also going to be reading Kelly Carter Jackson's Force and Freedom, Black Abolitionists and the Politics of Violence. And we are going to be reading Medical Bondage by Deirdre Cooper Owens, Race, Gender, and the Origins of American Gynecology. And the last book, but not least, Slavery at Sea, Terror, Sex, and Sickness in the Middle Passage, because it grounds the conversation in memory and really getting us to think about the slave trade and the interconnection to plantations. So as you see, there's a full, long, deep dive that is going to happen in this course, again, titled Slavery and Memory in American Popular Culture. And just to quickly just mention again, we're going to be reading Medical Bondage, Force and Freedom, Kindred, Six from Freedom, Slavery at Sea, as well as Slave Patrol. And I know I've just been moving and moving on quick in this conversation, because the whole thing is, this isn't to put anybody to sleep. This is to give you some energy, some empowerment, how to be, how to think about being in the future, in the classroom, because these students are going to be really dependent on you, no matter what level. We could be talking about college. We could be talking all the way to kindergarten, all the way through 7th grade or 11th grade. They're going to need your energy. You're going to need their energy. This isn't about feeding off of vampirically at all, but more about the giving and the taking. That is what this so-called, actually what some people really rise, the rising conversation of Aquarian Age, that's what all this is about. It's really unique, it's quirky, but it is also about this mass online, this virtual connection where we are remotely connected, and then it is about the awakenings that come when we give and when we share, when we give and we receive. So in that, that's why I'm on here telling you all what classes that I'm teaching, what books that the students are going to be reading. They know what they're going to be reading. But we're stepping into a new era that we should have already been, where we can, do, will, always give to the outside world. So essentially, I'm trying to counter what is very common within my world of academia, that we hoard our information. It's just for us. No, only the privileged. Get out of here, whatever. I felt like I had a PhD before I ever even came into academia because of books, because of the love of learning. And as time is going on, my goal is to continue to empower students, not only on who they are and activating their skill sets, but more importantly, to learn how to share the knowledge. Because there's so many people who say they want to learn from me, but the greatest way that one can learn is, how do you give to the world in the sharing, in the knowingness? Because right now I really could just be stressing over other things that really don't deserve stress. None of this does. Look where we are in this moment. Be able to take a breath, be able to think, be able to just sort of be in the moment and recognize there's more that we can give to one another, no matter where you are, whatever's going on, that we can give, that we can connect in these ways. And recognizing the rise in mental health and the challenges that I really saw last fall within the classroom that went untalked about, this new teaching strategy that I wanted to mention to you all, for those who have curious minds might be out there, is for the first time, I'm standing in a vortex. I'm standing in this, like, momentous place to be able to talk about the power of wellness. And for a moment, I'm going, there's, like, a couple things I want to share with that. Because what does that mean? Right now we're seeing it all over. Good Morning America Today and everybody. Oh, wellness is in, wellness is in. Okay, what does wellness mean, and what does it mean for you, and what can we do with it? How can we implement it within our lives, and then more importantly, within the lives of our students? So where I'm going with this is that years ago, there was nothing superficial about it, but now, years later, somebody would assume that that's all I'm talking about, and that is, but it isn't. But what that means is that I went away for a two-week silent meditation, and it changed my life. But I also, after that, began to lead meditations for about 3 years with my band that I was with at that time. And we would do shamanic drum meditations, as well as I developed a shamanic drum dance class. But that wasn't it. So what I learned in it, and by connecting and really traveling and bringing just the power of self and the body and the mind, the spirit and dance and all of it into the world beyond the classroom, I began to see that the community has that in its everyday. But within academia, we don't, because we don't have time. Are you kidding me? Meditation is the only reason why I'm still connected to academia. So this new teaching strategy that is an old, effective strategy that should have been there and that should have stayed there for all of us centuries ago is bringing meditation back into the classroom. So now my students will be required to meditate. They will be required to meditate at least once a month. How dare I? Once a month? Are you kidding me? But I am a sound healer. I lead meditation. The other part of what I was going to say about this wellness connection is that me being an African-American female and a college professor and a Reiki master and a sound healer and a wellness workshop facilitator and all these various things that we could try to, Yeah, we do all of it. Then it is about bringing it all together in what will be the unexpected and perhaps uniquely comprised education that I then can bring in. So now there will be live group meditations that students and their friends. You want to bring in a family member? Come on. Whatever room that we can get in the Zoom room where you can come and you can be quiet and you can chill out for an hour. If you want to actually get access to this, let me know. I feel like meditation, we're all deserving of it because everyone deserves peace. And the only way that we're going to begin to sort of push back against these emotional just sort of implosions that are happening within society, within households, and within ourselves is to begin to make room, hold space continuously for peace. So students will be required to attend a live meditation, a live intergalactic sound healing. Because, again, I'm a sound healer, and I have all kinds of sound bowls and space drums and more to come. So one day I will come on here and I will talk about how meditation really did upgrade my life in all these phenomenal ways. And here you're finding me and hearing me talk about, we're going back to school, but it is about bringing the new, that new into the classroom. You may hear me joke around with that a lot because we've got to find the new innovative ways to keep them coming, to keep them showing up, to keep them awake, to keep them engaged, to keep them calling you, to keep them wanting to want to learn all the time. That is our job. That is your job. That is my job. And whether it's parents, whether it's teachers, whoever you are in the empowerment, it is about taking people deeper. And that is what I've been doing for 20 years, but definitely concentrated for about 14 years. And it's only getting started. Because I will also add on that I just finished teaching a 6-week virtual wellness program, or teaching a part of it. Me and 3 other yoga teachers, we all combined our energies. And I taught a non-academic community sort of connective course. But essentially, I developed a Decode Yourself series where for 6 classes, students were able to really learn about how you can learn about your soul self. And I also offered 5 meditations. And then I began to see the power in how 18 people across the country and across the world would then find value in themselves, want to learn about themselves, and also have access to yoga and meditation and really learning more about the deeper body, mind, and spirit by way of 4 diverse women. And this is just exciting. So when I say wellness and where the future of wellness needs to be, it is, I already see where it is, but it is also about being more attentive, intentional, and inclusive of all the varying types of healers, all the varying types of just teachers and activators who can take us to the future, because that's what we're going to need. And that is exactly why I'm on here this afternoon for you all to hear me talk about. Again, what are you reading in Musa King's class? Yeah, well, I told you. In the two classes that I'll be teaching, and the other class I forgot to mention is the sophomore seminar, the Slavery and Memory in American Popular Culture. So within both of these classes, the intention is for students to begin to understand and go deeper within the realms of many things, of slavery and our silences, or where and how we're being taught it. Where, how did you learn about slavery? And then within the Black Women's History course, this is an opportunity to really move the needle on Black women and Black girls. Because we can't just say Black studies. You can't even just say African American history anymore. That's just not going to work. It shouldn't. If that's still going to be working in a year, in 5 years, in 20 years, we are not free. Okay, that means that we still have far to go. And those who taught, or those who have been taught by me and have been in my classroom over these many years and moments can tell you, oh no, this is all about the collective. This is not about the way they used to do it back in the day in the 60s. No, that heyday is gone. Okay, so my back to school, my springing forward, my new teaching is our new teaching, is our springing forward, is all of us collectively coming back to give more to the future in a whole new way. And so, again, at the beginning, I know I was giving a shout-out, giving a fist bump, giving an arm bump, giving a distant, remote hug to all the teachers and the college instructors and those who are holding the space and teaching the future. We're doing it, and we're going to continue to do it, and we're going to see the light in all of our work. Soon enough, it's coming. I'm excited because there's a lot that I'm learning, even if at times, fatigue does set in. Where and how can we push through it? And that's where I am about, okay, here's a moment. I got a few minutes. I wanted to go and empower you all while I'm over here thinking about how to empower the future on how to empower the world. So here we are with the interconnected layers of memory, again, of self, and our understanding and knowledge. What is the point of college if we're not going to begin to learn how to collectively share what we have learned? It should not just be fed into a corporate world. We shouldn't just say, oh, it's cool. No, this isn't about, oh, I'm on YouTube now. I'm so special. No, if you're going to be on YouTube, then empower the masses about what did you learn within the classroom. And then for us as teachers and instructors and college professors and all of that, our duty is to take the intellectual queries even deeper, to really bring in the assignments that can pull the heart in all the right ways, and that's what's going to happen within my classes. So you want to stay tuned for that, because I know I'm just getting riled up with all this energy moving more towards our interconnection and intercommunication in the airwaves. Then why not tell you what's going on over here in St. Louis for the moment and what I'm doing in the classroom, because I love teaching, I love empowering the future, and the students keep showing up, and I'm doing my best to bring what I'm doing in the classroom more to the world. So consider today as the start of the beginning of more, energetically. I know that at times I'll say that, and then I could very well disappear, and guess what? That's the power of the airwaves, that I can float in, I can float out, and I can come, and I can empower you, and I can be here in this moment, and then you can hear me. And then you can also understand that when we begin to share, we all can be lifted to a new stage. So in the days and the moments ahead, I really do hope that you're teaching. I hope the back to school is phenomenal. I hope that you really find yourself and find your greatest self. I'm finding myself at home. I mean, in a way that now I have greater power over all of what I can do. All. I'm my own studio. I'm my own empire. And you can be your own empire, and you are, and you can be your own studio. So just begin to think outside the box. Think beyond the airwaves in the ways that maybe you haven't been taught. Maybe other people didn't expose you to that. But guess what? You can't unknow, because now you're finding me in the airwaves. And now it's about showing the future to all of what's coming. And so much more. It's going to be far-reaching. Oh, it's just exciting the more that I think about it and I look ahead. So again, today I am the one and only Dr. Shawnee Musakeem, And I've been coming on to talk the special episode called Back to School 2021, Spring Books and New Teaching Strategies. And this isn't about showing off. The whole thing is about showing what are we doing in the teaching and the learning and the empowering of the future, because that's what I believe in, being our magnificent self. And you can be that when you go deep in the rigor and the learning, and more importantly, in the sharing and the teaching, and being open and willing to employ new teaching strategies. So if you want to get a hold of me, hey, I'm the only one in the world. Whoa, shawani.muskeem@gmail.com. I'm the author of the two-time award-winning books like Red Sea, Terror, Sex, and Sickness, and The Middle Passage. And again, you've been finding me in the airwaves on this just random so-called Sunday afternoon, is I just wanted to come on and empower you and tell you more, because in going back to school, we're all about to learn in all these new ways. So, woohoo! Let's get started. Let's let the energy roll and just know that this is our time and we're going to go far and we're going to activate so much more. So let's take it even higher in the consciousness and all the learning. All right, you take care now. All right, bye-bye.